Reading service. This is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine Online. All about Shannon Hart, wife of Josh Hart, and the WAG we're currently fangirling over. Here are seven fun facts about the gorgeous, proud wife of the popular New York Knicks player, like how they met, her own sports accomplishments, her Caribbean roots, and more. Even if you aren't a basketball fan, chances are you've attended a brunch, a work huddle, or overheard folks talking at the grocery store about the New York Knicks over the last few weeks. Their incredible season and even more incredible NBA championship win was nothing short of epic. After waiting 53 years for this monumental chip, it's not hard to be happy for the dynamic team. While we enjoy rooting for the players, the WAGs are equally, sometimes more, entertaining. There's a long-running television franchise catered to basketball wives, after all. Remember the attention Jordan Woods, fiancé of Knicks center power forward Karl Anthony Towns, and her viral Lucky Summer Citrus clutch bag received? Another Knicks significant other we are excited about is Shannon Hart, wife of shooting guard, small forward Josh Hart. Her body and skin are both tea. She's crushed her own career and education goals, and we appreciate that the wife and mom stays out of the way tending to her babies and being her hubby's biggest cheerleader. I'm his number one fan, Shannon confided to Essence in 2025. So this is a whole vibe. Here are seven reasons Mrs. Hart has been that girl, is still that girl, and is someone we look forward to championing for years to come. The Harts were high school sweethearts. Shannon and Josh met and began dating while they were in high school sweethearts in Sidwell Friends School in D.C. It's a private independent school, and it's also the alma mater of Malia and Sasha Obama. Sidwell, which serves students from pre-K to K-12, has an annual tuition for the 26-27 school year, ranging from $55,250 to $62,330. While they were still just friends, a 15-year-old Josh asked his future wife if she liked him in a text. Now they're teammates for life. She's a registered nurse. According to reports, Shannon attended Rutgers University before transferring to the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where she majored in health administration and public policy. She later graduated from the University of Maryland School of Nursing with a Master of Science in Nursing. Shannon has worked in orthopedics and sports medicine. In September 2020, she excitedly posted on Instagram about her first day on the job as a nurse. Shannon is a great athlete herself. Shannon was a standout soccer player for Rutgers and later at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where she competed as a defender. According to her UMBC player bio, she was a four-year starter while in high school at Sidwell. She's Trini to the bone. Shannon's family hails from beautiful Caribbean country of Trinidad and Tobago. She even proudly honored her roots by having traditional Caribbean dancers perform at her wedding during the Knicks celebration parade in New York City on June 18, 2026. Shannon effortlessly tapped into her island culture and decided to bust a wine on Josh. Could this duo really be ready to conquer Carnival together? She's a Maryland native. That's right, Shannon is a native of Greenbelt, Maryland, according to a previous New York Times profile. Greenbelt is in Prince George's County, also known as PG or Pretty Girl County. Husband Josh also hails from Maryland, having grown up in nearby Silver Spring in Montgomery County. She and Josh tied the knot their way. Josh proposed to Shannon in December of 2020. The couple wed in an intimate ceremony at One Hotel, South Beach in Miami, on August 28, 2021. According to Southern Bride, the pair jetted across the pond and honeymooned in England, Greece, and Italy. She's a boy mom of twins. The Harts became a family of four when Shannon gave birth to their twin sons, Hendrick Aaron and Hayes Dana, on May 12, 2023. The brothers often make adorable public appearances, sometimes rocking matching New York Knicks jerseys at their dad's games. Shannon exclusively shared with us in a previous interview, "We stay grounded and always prioritize our family." Right, moving on to entertainment. Survival of the Thickest, 72 Hours, The Bear premiere, and the films and TV shows to watch this month. Whether you're heading to the theater or settling in for a binge watch, these are the July releases deserving a spot on your calendar. This article is by Okla Jones. Summer television is finally in full swing, so all the big networks and movie studios are rolling out some of their most entertaining content of the year. With several fan favorites preparing to say goodbye, July brings the final chapters of series like The Bear, Survival of the Thickest, and All American, giving audiences one last chance to spend time with the characters they've followed for years. Moviegoers also have plenty to anticipate, including Tim Story's comedy, 72 Hours, starring Kevin Hart and Tiana Taylor. Whether you're planning a weekend binge or looking for your next trip to the theater, here are the films and television premieres featuring Black talent worth adding to your watch list this month. The Bear, June 25th, FX Hulu. Carmi, Sydney, and Richie are back in the kitchen one last time. The fifth and final season of The Bear premieres with all 8 episodes available immediately, bringing FX's award-winning drama to a close. Since its debut, the series has become one of television's biggest success stories, thanks in large part to standout performances from Ayo Edebiri, Lionel Boyce, and more. If the previous finale taught us anything, expect another emotionally charged ride before service officially ends. Survival of the Thickest, July 2nd, Netflix. Michelle Buteau wraps up Survival of the Thickest with a third and final season celebrating friendship, romance, and self-discovery. Inspired by her best-selling essay collection, the comedy once again follows Mavis Beaumont as she navigates love and career on her own terms. This season also marks a milestone behind the camera, with Buteau making her directorial debut. Wanda Sykes, Ice-T, Garcelle Bouvet, D.L. Hughley, and Peppermint are among the many guest stars stopping by before the series signs off. All American, July 13th, The CW. Nearly 8 years after introducing audiences to Spencer James, All American begins its final season with a 2-hour premiere. Inspired by the life of former NFL player Spencer Paysinger, the drama became one of television's biggest streaming success stories after finding a second life on Netflix. Michael Evans Belling, Breezy, Greta Onio, O.C. Ikeeley return, while original stars Daniel Ezra and Samantha Logan are also set to appear as the story reaches its conclusion. Ride or Die, July 15th, Prime Video. Octavia Spencer and Hannah Waddingham team up for an action comedy built around one outrageous revelation. Debbie believes she knows everything about her longtime best friend until she discovers Judith has been living as an international assassin. What follows is a high-speed chase stretching across Europe as the pair evade criminals and authorities alike. Created by Tessa Coates, Ride or Die looks like a fun summer binge with all 8 episodes arriving on premiere day. 72 Hours, July 24th, Netflix. Kevin Hart reunites with director Tim Story for 72 Hours, a comedy built around one accidental group text. Hart stars as a struggling executive who sees an unexpected opportunity to revive his career after winding up at a bachelor party full of 20-somethings. Marcelo Hernandez, Mason Gooding, Cam Patterson, Tiana Taylor, Andy Garcia, and Zach Cherry round out the cast. If you're looking for something light before summer winds down, this one should deliver plenty of laughs. Diara from Detroit, July 29th, Paramount Plus. Diara Kilpatrick's wildly unpredictable comedy returns with another mystery only Diara could stumble into. Season 2 begins with what should have been a simple furniture pickup before quickly spiraling into murder, secret societies, gang rivalries, and a treasure hunt through Detroit. Kilpatrick once again writes and stars in one of television's most original comedies. Paramount Plus kicks things off with a 2-episode premiere before rolling out new installments each week. And Fightland, July 31st, Stars. Boxing, revenge, and organized crime collide in Fightland, Starz's newest drama, from executive producer Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Howard Charles stars as Duke Kilroy, a former heavyweight champion who returns to London after 8 years in prison searching for answers about his brother's murder. Nicholas Pinnock and Deborah Iorende co-star in a series promising plenty of twists inside and outside the ring. New episodes will debut weekly following the premiere. And next, meet the Ice Cream Queen, telling Black stories one scoop at a time. Ice cream artist and author Lokelani Alabanza's new cookbook is part recipe collection, part cultural reclamation. And this article is by Brittany Oliver. Thinking back to her first memory of ice cream, Lokelani Alabanza recalls the Neapolitan flavor as a staple in her grandmother's freezer. "I did not want the flavors touching, so I ate them separately. I didn't want to eat them together," she shares with a laugh. That laugh is joy, and it's what Alabanza believes ice cream is a vessel for. Like most of us, we were introduced to ice cream at home with our families. Those first memories of the cool dessert are something she wants today's families to have as they make ice cream from her collection of recipes in her first book, Ice Cream Queen, Flavors from Black America's Past, Present, and Future, available now. Alabanza is an internationally trained chef based in Nashville, Tennessee, who navigated a culinary school and many kitchens, often as the only Black woman in the room. "I went to the New England Culinary Institute, which was run by white men, and any of the women chefs that I knew were extraordinary, but there were very few of them," she recalls. After culinary school, she started working full-time, but the only job she could find was in the pastry program at Grace Restaurant in Los Angeles. Pastry wasn't her first choice, but she learned to love creating desserts. "I learned that I was good at it, and then it became a game. How to get better each day," she said. In her early career, she learned how to make ice cream to pair with desserts. She never expected that ice cream would bring her where she is today. Her curiosity about the sweet treat went beyond experimenting with flavors in the various kitchens that she worked in. One day, a Southern Foodways Alliance Gravy podcast episode, playing in the car on a road trip, led her to Tony Tipton Martin's The Jemima Code, two centuries of African-American cookbooks. Tony did incredible work taking her time and resources to create this extraordinary collection of first-edition African-American cookbooks, which I hadn't learned about at all in culinary school or in the kitchen, Alabanza shares. There was a shame she felt when she discovered Tipton's book. She wondered why she didn't know about this history and this great work. Then she opened Tempted's book, and it sparked her hunger to learn more about Black history through recipes. She realized there was so much she didn't know about our history, influence, and impact on food. She took it upon herself to start exploring that history more. "I truly do live with one foot in the past and one foot in the future," she says. Alabanza started with collecting cookbooks and then photographs. "I remember the very first photograph I ever bought. I think it was 2018, and unknowingly I'd bought this photograph of this little precious Black girl holding an ice cream cone," she says. Over the years, she assembled a collection of ice cream artifacts, such as scoops, spoons, and old churns, as well as 30 first edition cookbooks. "I'm just a steward of these objects. They are part of the culture, and they're part of this diaspora. It's not just Black American history. It is American history," she says. With Ice Cream Queen, Alabanza wants people to know that Black Americans have long influenced the frozen delicacy. One of the things that blew her mind during her research was the amount of wealth that ice cream created for Black people in America at one point. But then that generational wealth disappeared. Black Americans contributed to ice harvesting and to the manufacturing of ice cream. Then there is Sarah Estelle, a free Black woman in Nashville who made ice cream between 1830 and 1860. And influenced the Parmesan ice cream recipe in the cookbook. Now, everything she has collected has helped inform Ice Cream Queen. The book not only includes stories about Black contributors to the frozen dessert, but also recipes inspired by that history and by our culture. From Nashville hot chicken and rose petal flavors to every Black elder's favorite, butter pecan, food has always reminded me of the people I come from, whose DNA runs through me. "This is who I am, and this is how I present," she shares. When you think back to your first memories of ice cream, you can't help but think of joy. The delight you get from the taste, the comfort of the cold on the hot day, and the feeling of being around the people you love. It's our own personal history with the dessert that Alabanzo wants us to remember and replicate. I want people to just create their own legacies from this book. I want you to remember that memory that might cause a little ting, a tinge of pain from missing it or those in it, but to know that's beautiful, she says. She calls it time traveling, using core memories to move you forward in present day. I want you to be able to time travel through this book and then to do what you want with these recipes. Alabanza says, it's what we've been doing for years, taking recipes, putting our own unique spin on them, and passing them down. Ice Cream Queen was meant to help us keep traditions alive, like making ice cream just like your grandparents and great-grandparents did at home, reclaiming our history and our joy one scoop at a time. In the climate that we're in right now, joy is what we require, community is what we need, and ice cream offers both at once. Networking in New Orleans. How to find your next opportunity at Essence Festival. And this article is by Kimberly Wilson and Kiara Reed. In today's economy, not only is your network your net worth, but it's also a means of survival. Who you know, where you spend your time, and what you do with those precious moments outside of work may end up costing you big time in the long run. Whether you're in search of a job, a business partner, a mentor, a vendor, or heck, just a sounding board to help you with your next professional endeavor, you've got to make your next move your best move. And we're here to help. New Orleans has always been an underrated hub of Black business, creativity, and excellence, which is why we at Essence have always made sure to amplify the city's brilliance. And while Essence Festival of Culture is just one touch point of this, and dubbed the largest party with a purpose in the Western Hemisphere, it's also a professionally transformative experience for those who attend. We've got a track record that speaks for itself. Where else can you see some of your favorite artists? This year, headliners such as Michelle Obama, Patti LaBelle, Cardi B, Brandy Ann Monica, and others, while also attending professional panels geared to help you build your next million-dollar business, get politically involved and educated on the state of the world, network in the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center's Expo Hall with hundreds of Black-owned businesses, hear from some of the world's most renowned poets and speakers, and receive free products, loads and loads of products. Let the record show, nowhere else. Below, I've outlined a few ways to maximize your experience in the Big Easy, because when one of us wins, we all win. And in 2026, sisters, it's time for all of us to win big. Do your homework. Essence Festival of Culture is not the kind of event you show up to and figure out on the fly. Well, sometimes it can be, but you have to make sure you at least have a rough outline of who you want to meet and what you want to tackle. There are multiple stages, tracks, panels, and activations happening simultaneously across the convention center and beyond. And if you walk in without a plan, you will spend half your time overwhelmed and the other half in line for something you didn't actually want to prioritize. Before you leave home, go to the Essence Festival of Culture website and map out the sessions that are most relevant to where you are in your career or business. Are you trying to launch something? There are panels for that. Are you looking to move up in your field? There are panels for that too. Write down the names of the speakers you want to see, the brands you want to visit in the expo hall, and the events you want to attend in the evenings. You don't have to stick to the plan rigidly, but having one means you'll actually leave with something. Be strategic about where you spend your evenings. When it comes to the evening concert series, nobody's telling you to skip those moments because that's exactly what this festival is made for. You never know what surprises are in store or what will happen on that Superdome stage. But the evenings at Essence Festival are also when some of the most meaningful professional connections happen because people are relaxed, they're having a good time, and their guard is down. Pay attention to the brand events, rooftop gatherings, and private dinners that happen around the festival. Many of them are free or low cost and open to the public if you know where to look. Follow Essence on social media before you go. Check threads for people posting shareable Google Docs with event listings. Check your favorite brand's social media pages because they drop hints of their own activations. And don't be afraid to ask around once you're in town. Some of the best conversations I've ever had at this festival happened not in a panel room, but at a dinner I almost talked myself out of attending due to imposter syndrome. Yes, it happens to the best of us. Stop waiting for people to come to you. Networking only works if you actually do it, and that means introducing yourself first, sitting down at a table where you don't know anyone, and asking questions that go beyond, so what do you do? Most people at Essence Festival are there because they want to grow something, whether that's a career, a business, or a community. And one of the places to do that is the Convention Center. I swear, the Expo Hall is one of the most underutilized networking opportunities at the entire festival, and people walk through it like some mall. People are generous with their networks when you approach them with genuine curiosity rather than a transactional agenda. And if you're introverted, that's okay. You don't have to work the entire room. Pick two or three meaningful conversations per day and go deep rather than wide. Relax, relate, release. Whitney Gilbert never spoke truer words, and I need you to know this is a marathon, not a sprint. Yes, you may get home and follow up and not hear from someone. Or even you've heard from someone, but it's not the outcome you've intended. Every opportunity is there to connect you to something greater in the future. So if this isn't the particular opportunity for you, relax. Go back and look at what you learned. Look at who you met, even casually. Look at what sessions shifted something in you, what speakers made you reconsider how you've been moving, what conversations planted a seed you didn't even realize was there. Essence Festival of Culture is not a transaction. And though I know in these times you may feel like you need a win now, this is an experience, and like most meaningful experiences, its full value reveals itself over time. The contact you met in the expo hall might not be your next business partner, but she might introduce you to someone who will be. The panel you attended might not hand you a job, but it might give you the language to ask for what you deserve at the one you already have. Trust the process and trust yourself enough to show up for it fully. You came to New Orleans, you put yourself in the room. That alone means something. Now go enjoy the city, eat the food, feel the music, and let Essence do what it has always done. And then release it all. The rest will follow. Whether you're Essence Fest or another big conference, networking can seem a little scary to some people. Some questions may be, where do I start? Or how do I make a lasting impression? All in all, it's better to prepare rather than to guess. Networking does not have to feel overwhelming. With the right tools and a shift in mindset from transactional to authenticity, networking can create genuine connections, a much smoother experience. A quick guide to before, during, and after. Whether you are at Essence Festival or another big conference, networking can seem a little scary. Know this, it is better to prepare rather than to go in guessing. With the right tools and a shift in mindset, from transactional to authentic connections, networking can be a much smoother experience. What to bring? Start with an open mind. Before you arrive at any big event, lead with curiosity. You are going to experience a lot of people and events in a certain amount of time, so be open-minded about all the possible things you might learn. First things first, you should think about taking notes. So that's when a pen and pad come in hand. Whether you attend a panel or want to remember key details about people you will potentially meet, notes are your friend. A second thing to remember is that as you are jotting down what you need to remember about someone, it's important that the other person remembers you too. Bring a physical or digital business card to make a lasting impression. What to say? When making an authentic connection, you want to be intentional about what you say. This is not the moment to drop your elevator pitch, believe it or not. It's great to have it handy, but upon first meeting, simple is better. Hi, my name is enough for one person or a small group to break the ice. To keep the conversation going, see if there are common interests with the other person. You are connecting to understand an individual, not to review each other's resumes. So keep it light and interesting. Share a couple of laughs if you can. As the dialogue continues and your professional lives come up, be clear, concise, and confident in your current role and what you're looking for in the future. How to follow up. To stay top of mind with someone you enjoyed connecting with during the event, do not wait too long to reconnect. It's best to follow up with someone through email within 48 hours of meeting. In your message, you can remind them who you are and an interesting topic you both discussed. Keep it friendly and work on building rapport with this person. Later on, the relationship will reveal how you both can help each other in the future. How Tia Mowry Manifested Her New Relationship. This is by Victoria Umoroji. We told you Tia Mowry was off the market again, and now she's actually talking about it. The beauty who's on the promo trail for her new Lifetime movie, Single Black Tenant, spoke with Talia Parkinson on Today's Show Radio on Sirius XM about revealing on Instagram that she has found love again. I was debating, she admitted, after totally fangirling out over her beau. His name is Giovanni, and he's a teacher. He also has his master's. He studied in France, and he's an artist. He's an avid reader. She shared the two are on the same wavelength and enjoy meditating and reading books. He will read to me at night before we go to bed, and the books he'll read to me are about co-parenting. She added that he has two kids, and they're around the same age, 15 and 8, a boy and a girl. He's a wonderful human being, and some of the things he says, like, how can I support you? His emotional intelligence is amazing. I manifested this, she says. Basically, what I did last year was a friend of mine had told me to listen to music, put some candles on, and just write out a list of what you would like in a partner. And I'm glad it came around the time that it did, because I wouldn't have known what I wanted 3 years ago. I really needed to sit in solitude and learn who I am first. Before I even figured out what it was and what it is I want, I did do that. And not only did I do that, I'm a huge believer in neuroscience. I study a lot about the brain and visuals and meditation. So I would literally close my eyes and I would meditate about my partner and I would meditate about the feeling I would want to feel. And the feeling was my nervous system being safe. And that's exactly what he does. He's amazing. Mallory first gave us a peek into her new bae back in April, and the couple even enjoyed a vacation together in Cabo. She's floating on cloud 9, and we love to see it. All right, well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you have enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I am Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service. Mm-hmm.